John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at the first 12 verses. We're not going to look at all of them in depth at all, but we're going to be looking at a theme that's given here. John chapter 1. I've entitled the message of this morning, "The Light of the World is Jesus." The light of the world is Jesus. I want you to think about light and what it is. Light at Christmas time is something that is very prevalent. Lights kind of signify Christmas, not alone, but with other things. But certainly at Christmas time, the world literally lights up, and it's very true. They say that that the light increase on our Earth can be observed from space, a definite increase. Definitely see. That's amazing to me. You know, most of the lights for Christmas are smaller than the regular lights that we use. Now, there's some big lights, but for the most part, with lots of little lights there. And that shows the massive amount of little lights that are used, that from space you can observe the Earth just glowing in a brighter way. They say that there's a 30 to 50% increase of electricity consumption during the Christmas season. And, of course, lots of money spent on it. Of course, now with newer technology and LED lights, of course, that, you know, they say that people are, of course, saving, I shouldn't say saving a lot of money. Their usage, of course, comes down as far as the amount of electricity because of the newer change to LED lights. But they are saying, though, that doesn't mean that they are spending less. What they're doing, the world is making up for it by just putting up more lights, okay? So people aren't saving money. Now, you might be saving money, but the world at large is just putting up more lights, and so light just becomes brighter during Christmas time. Obviously, and certainly the world has, in this case, the physical light has truly accepted the light at Christmas time. It's just a time to light everything up. There's the lighting of this and the lighting of that. It's Christmas time. It revolves around the light. But what about the light? What about the light? You know, the world has accepted the light as far as the lights, the physical lights, but have they accepted the light? What about the baby Jesus? This morning I want to talk about the baby Jesus. You know, when he was born, it must have been a tremendous thing to be there in the stable when Jesus Christ was born. It almost brings tears to my eyes when I think of what that time would have been like. Imagining, and even, I'm not even talking about I wish I was Joseph, because honestly, Joseph and Mary didn't understand everything. No, I would have liked to have been there, because I do understand what would come of this Christ child. Oh, I would have loved to have been there to see that time. And I want to tell you, it would have been the greatest time, as far as I'm concerned, in all of history, to look and see Jesus being born, because I know what he would mean to the world and what he would mean to me. There he was, the babe in the manger, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the Gospels that Jesus mentioned to the disciples and to those that were around, "I am the light of the world." Not the Christmas lights, not the this lights, not those lights. No, he said, "I'm the light." What did he mean when he said that he was the light of the world? That baby in the manger that we worship and celebrate at Christmas time and put focus on, the baby in the manger, Jesus Christ. You know, when he came to this earth and when he laid there in the manger, what did it mean? And what did it specifically mean that he was the light? I want to look at the general purpose of light and then look at the passage in John chapter 1 and see that the light of the world meant much to us. What's the purpose of light? As you're in John chapter 1, I want us to look at the first 12 verses. Follow with me as I read. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John, and the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Father, I need you desperately now, because I know that the devil does not want me to preach this message this morning. God, the light of the world is the thing that opposes the world of darkness. The devil is the head of the world of darkness, and he wants nothing to do with the light, and he wants everything to do with squandering that light, getting rid of that light, putting the cover over that light. Oh, Father, I know that the devil doesn't want me to preach this message this morning, and I'm asking that you give me strength and power to be able to share the light, because this is going to affect the entire world if we will follow it. Oh God, would you please help us as we look at the light, and Lord, we put an end to Satan, and we remember the victory that Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil and the evil one, and Father, there is light, and the darkness is gone. Lord, so we thank you for that. Lord, give power now and strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Indeed, the devil does not want us to look at the light at all, but we're going to look at the light this morning. What does light do? Number one, I want you to notice that light identifies. Light indicates. There's some practical examples of this in our world. Well, when you're driving down the road, you have to stop for a traffic light. And there's three lights usually. Sometimes there's five lights if there's some turn signals there, but in general, we have three colors of lights. And my guess is that you know what each light indicates. What does red indicate? You better stop, right? And most everybody knows that a red light means stop. A yellow light means what? You better, I heard some different, we better study, better go back, okay? Okay, it means in a sense it's yield. In some cases, it's a different kind of a thing. But you better be careful there. In some of your cases, you better hurry and push on the gas so you can get through. Right? Okay. There's the yellow light, and then what, of course, does the green light mean? You can go. Okay, it's go. And that the light indicates those things. Right? You might have kitchen appliances in your home. And a red color maybe on that appliance tells you that there's maybe something wrong. Maybe a green light says go. Maybe it's not multicolored. Maybe it's just one color. It tells you if it's on. You know, if my wife asked me to go in the bathroom in the morning and turn on the curling iron, there's a light that says it's powered and it's on. There's another light that says turbo. I don't know what that turbo is for curling hair, but you know, it's turbo. You know, it's like it's time to curl some hair when you turn that light on. She never uses it without the turbo. So, but anyways, there's a light on there, and it indicates something. You have lights on your dashboard when you're driving, and that light comes on and it says check engine. Some of your cars, that light's always on, and you can't ever figure out what it is. But some of you, the light comes on, and you said, I better do something about it. It's an indicator, and light in so many different things indicates different things. You know when the battery's charged because now the light turns that color, and you know that it's okay to use. You see, light is an indicator. You understand that we read in the first four verses of John chapter 1 that the light, the baby Jesus, was an indicator. Now, before we move on, all of you look up here and listen to this. What I want to give you this morning, there's a lot of applications and a lot of things for us here in this room. But I want you to take note what we're looking at light, because it'll give you good opportunities of sharing the gospel this Christmas season concerning the baby Jesus, okay? And so take special note of that. It's always good to have bridge statements and bridge things so that we can share the gospel and find out a way. And I'm going to give you some things that are going to help you. Not only, this is messages not only for evangelism, but it will help you, okay? What's the significance of the baby Jesus? First of all, we see that he's called the light and he's an indicator of something else. He's indicating, he's revealing, he's identifying something or someone else. Look at the first four verses again with me. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, when we look at these first four verses, who is the subject of the Word? He's declared here to be God. Did you know that? John chapter 1 and verse 1 declares God to, Jesus Christ to be God. He was God in the flesh. The same was in the beginning with God. We see here that he's the creator. We see that he is the life. We see that he is the light. This passage is talking about Jesus Christ, the introduction of Jesus Christ. John has a unique way of doing it, different than Matthew and Mark and Luke. John is identifying Jesus as God. He's deity. He is God. He is God in the flesh. And so we see him identifying something, but baby Jesus was an indicating light. Jesus, as the light, came as the Word. We look at the Word that was given. In the Greek language here, it's the word logos. And that is the written word. And he was here. He was given to mankind to be an indicator. And as we see here that Jesus, being the light, came as the word to the world to identify to the world who God was, to indicate something to us. And so as baby Jesus was there, is here lying in the manger, as you look at the baby Jesus lying in the manger, he's kind of like a blinking light to all that is saying, okay, there is something here to pay attention to. I am also an indication of who God the Father is. He says, pay close attention to me so that you can know the Father. You know, this was also apparent through the name given to Jesus as Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. There was an indication to the world that, wait a second, God is here. Jesus was and is man's picture of God the Father. And the light identifies to us who the Father is and what he is like. I remember in John chapter 14, we've gone through this. In fact, why don't you turn there? Go a few pages later. Ahead, go to John chapter 14, and the disciples are there talking, and Philip pipes up and he makes a statement to our Lord. He wants some information about who the Father is. And he's speaking to Jesus. He obviously didn't understand everything about who Jesus was. See, in John chapter 14 and verses 8 and 9, Philip saith unto him, obviously he's speaking to Jesus because he calls him Lord, Master. He saith unto him, Master, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You know, Philip is saying, it will be good. Just show us a picture of who the Father is, and that will be good enough. Jesus saith unto him, take note of what Jesus' answer was. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Don't you know? I've told you already. This is what he says. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus is saying here, Philip, I'm telling you, and I'm telling you again, if you have seen me, and that was apparent, right? You've seen me. If you have set eyes on me, then you already have set eyes on the Father, because to see Jesus was to see the Father. Jesus was a true indicator of who God the Father was. We need to see the baby Jesus so we can identify who God is and what he is like. Practical application here. Folks, if we're going to know who God is and what he does, we must study the character of Jesus. We must look at who Jesus was. We must look at what he did. We must look at where he went. We must look at how he handled situations, because that's going to be our indicating light as to know what God wants and what God would do. We say, I want God's will. I want to tell you, look to the light, because the light will indicate God's will for us. We look to Jesus Christ. Folks, it's so important that as a church we study the person of Jesus Christ. And we do. You say, what's the big deal about being here on Sunday night? Right now we're studying Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, is it a big deal that I'm there to study Jesus Christ? What do you think? You see, Jesus Christ is the indicator of who God is, what he does and what he loves and what he doesn't love and what he likes and what he doesn't like. We must study the character of who Jesus Christ is. We go wrong if we leave out the person of Jesus Christ in our studies. We need to know, as Christians, we need to know who Jesus Christ is. But can I take it to another level? The world needs to know who Jesus Christ is in order that they receive him. They need to know who God is. The world needs to see Jesus so that they can identify who God is. Take the opportunity. There's manger scenes all around, and I praise the Lord. It might not always be that way, and there are places in the world where they're taking away the manger scenes. Of recent, it almost seems like, you know, locally, it seems like there's been more manger scenes, and I hope that's probably a result of our conservative area around here, our culture, you know, wanting to step up to the plate where they're trying to take it down. But I praise the Lord. But as there are manger scenes all around, you have an excellent opportunity to witness to people and say, hey, you know, to that business person, why do you put that manger seat out there in the front? Why do you play songs about Jesus Christ? And I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful opportunity. You see, there's an indicating light in Jesus Christ. He is here blinking to us that we need to pay attention to who he is, because he is indicating who God is. He is a clear picture. He's an indicator of who God the Father is. And we need to point people to Jesus Christ. The world needs to see Jesus so they can identify with who God the Father is. So we look at this and we say, for us Christians, we need to look at Jesus Christ so we have a pattern of life. And that's exactly what we're doing on Sunday nights. We're looking at Jesus Christ as a pattern for us to follow. We need him. Without him, we don't know what God wants. We need the Son. We need Jesus Christ to know. And we need to follow him. That's why we need to get into the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we need to study exactly what he did in all of these situations so that we know how to act. He is an indicator to us. We need to give the world a good picture of who Christ is so that they can receive him. On a side note, it's interesting that the light of the world, which comes into the world, also reveals more than who God is. There's a tendency to reveal who we are as well. When we see the perfect, holy Son of God, and yet we see who we are. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw God sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He was undone. You know, I think about this when I think of God, Jesus Christ, showing himself to us and being a clear indicator. It's very interesting the words that are used. Now, I told you in John chapter 1, the word that's used for Jesus Christ is word, and that's the logos, the word, the picture of who God was. You know, in another passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 4, why don't you turn there quickly? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the word is used again. And we know that in John chapter 1 and verse 1, we're referring to Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, when we look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we would say that this word is something else. But it's so interesting how the two are the same. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, we automatically know what word is being talked about there. The word of God, right? But you know what? You look up the Greek word, and guess what? They're the same that's given there. In the beginning was the word. And we know that that's talking about Jesus Christ. And we see here in Hebrews chapter 4, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." And we know for sure, and it's right, this is not a trick. We know for sure that that's talking about the written word of God. I want to tell you something. As we have Jesus Christ, and as we now have, can I say this, not irreverently, as we have Jesus Christ, as we have the word, as we have him, he indicates to us our own selves. Folks, all we have to do is open up the word of God and read. And he turns the lights on and indicates to us how we don't match up to the word. And shows us what we need to change. We see that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Shows us how we're wrong. The book of James tells us about looking into a glass, comparing it to looking into the word of God. Folks, we need to look at the word. We need to look at the person of Jesus Christ, because he's an indicator of who God is. He's an indicator of who we are. You know, but light is more than just indicating something. You look on your dash, you look on the road, and you see, you look in your countertop, and you see these lights that are indicators. You know what? But light is not just an indicator, not these little lights that tell us something. Light is also purposed for us to see. Now, those are two different things. You know, I don't know about you, but I cannot take the little light that is on that appliance in my kitchen and go around and walking through the house, you know, and looking to see everything. No, that's a different purpose of the light. In one case, the light was given there so that I'm getting a signal. I know something. In this case, number two, we see that light is given so that we can see. So that we can see the truth. And I'll tell you what it is we can see, and therefore it causes us to believe. I can walk into this room and it can be 100% dark, and I can say, you know, I assume that there's this there, but when the light's on, then I can see for sure that there's something there. So light gives us the opportunity to see. And we like to, when we go camping or we go somewhere, we like to take flashlights, right? And what's the purpose of that flashlight? Oh, there's sometimes when we can use the flashlight as an indicator, but for the most part, a flashlight is so that I can see, right? I can turn the dark into light, and I can see what's going on there. Where yesterday I was with Ezekiel in the garage, and we needed to see something down. Had some lumber that I was trying to get out, working on a project, and something was caught in there, and I couldn't see what it was. And I told Ezekiel to get the light so that we could see. And I got that light, and I shined it in there, and sure enough, we could see. And that light helped so that we could, so that not only would indicate, but it would lighten everything up. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 7 here. We see, "And that the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and for the purpose of what? That all men through him might believe." There would be a sight, there could be some sight there. Okay, now we can believe, now we can see. You see, we're humans and we need, you know, we like to have sight. You know what? God didn't say, "Oh, I'm going to do everything and you don't have any sight." No, he put Jesus Christ there so that we could have proof that he was there. I want to tell you something. We think that we have blind faith, but folks, it's not blind faith. We look at the person of Jesus Christ and say, you know, he was there. He really was. And, you know, the writer of the Gospel of John told us last week when you read it, "I give you these things, I give you the truth so that you can see, so that you can believe." That's why the word of God is written. That's why Jesus Christ came. Folks, the babe in the manger, Jesus Christ is there. Kind of like that blinking light or that flashlight that illumines up, that floodlight that everybody is listen, this light is given so that you can see the way. I'll tell you what, without Jesus Christ, the world is dark. The world is dark. Praise the Lord for headlights when I'm driving down the road. Can you imagine? Every once in a while, you see somebody going down the road. Every once in a while, I have gone down the road and I've forgotten to turn on those lights. Of course, most of your cars now have these automatic lights that you get in the car and they turn on at the right time. And they turn on. But, you know, some of us that have old-fashioned cars, sometimes we got to turn on those lights. You got to turn them on. And if you don't turn them on, boy, you go down the road and that's a dangerous thing. Turn on those lights and all of a sudden, now you can see. Sight is so important for belief. You know, in John chapter 14, Jesus was talking to the group there and his disciples. And what did he say? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I am the only way that people are going to believe who God is. I'm the only way for mankind to get to God. I'm the answer. I am the only way that people can see their reality and to see who God is and how we can connect. You see, he's a light. He's shown in the world so that we can see Christ. Concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ, Ephesians chapter 3, quickly. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Again, concerning the unsearchable riches of Christ, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and the unsearchable riches mentioned in verse 8, going on to verse 9, Paul is telling us what his model in life is, what his goal in life is, because of the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, Jesus Christ has been hid and he needs to be shown to the world so that all men can see. Let's make this very practical. You know what men need that don't believe? By the way, are there a lot of unbelieving people in this world? Unbelieving people fill this world. You know who they need to see? Jesus Christ. Because he is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is going to be that I can see. You know, it's amazing. We make it so difficult. People need to see Christ. What does that unsaved coworker need? They need to see the baby in the manger. They need to see Christ. You say, how does it work? I don't know, but they need to see Christ. We need to point them to Christ. Christ is the answer. He is declared. He doesn't just give out the light. No, he is the light. And when that light is turned on, then people see. What does that tell us we need to give people? You know, we can dominate our conversation about the character of God, but I tell you, we miss out if we don't talk about Jesus Christ. We've got to tell them it's Jesus Christ. You know, I love the fact that we have two elements and they are the same, the Word and the Word. That we need to be faithful at giving. You know that it is not my job to go and to convince men of the reality of God's word. And it's not my job to go and convince men of the reality of Jesus Christ. You know what my job is and your job is? To give the word and to give the word. The two, the same and combined, are the answer to men's seeing the light, seeing God. We give them Christ. Give them Christ. You say, I don't know what to tell my coworker. I don't know what to tell my relative. Give them the word. Give them Christ. Tell them about Christ. Tell them what he's done. Tell them what he's like. Tell them who he is. Have a Bible study with them and tell them about Christ. Go to the Gospels and let them see Christ. And I'll tell you what, when people saw Christ, people got saved. What did Jesus do? Did he have a bunch of fancy words? He went and he showed himself. This is who I am. And people got saved. People changed. People turned to him. As he acted as Christ, as he acted as the Son of God, he showed himself to it. And I'll tell you what, it either turned people to him or it turned people away. But I'll tell you what, even those Pharisees, when they saw Christ, I believe that they knew he was and they rejected it. They said, we don't want him. I'll tell you what, there was a tremendous ministry that was done to those Pharisees because they saw Jesus and they were shed the light. They just rejected it. Rejected it. Folks, I want to tell you, as you're out winning souls, Talk about Jesus Christ. You say, how is that going to work? Don't worry about it. Talk about Christ. Give them Christ. Give them the Word of God and give them Christ. That's what your neighbors need. That's what your relatives need. That's what the world needs. Give them Christ. You see, they want to take Christ. That's why I believe the devil wants the manger scene to be gotten rid of. Because Christ is the light, and the world knows that. And I'll tell you what, the devil knows that Jesus Christ is the light. If he can take the light out, then it's darkness. That's why the manger scene is the focus. Get rid of that baby. Folks, what we need to give is that baby. Let me tell you about the manger scene that I have. You know what? We don't have a manger scene outside of our home. We have been talking about wanting to get one. When people drive by, you say, come on, what is a manger scene going to do? A manger scene can't do this. I want to tell you, I don't know how it can, but I believe the Word of God that says that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, it's more than just putting the manger scene out there and the baby. We've got to tell them the written word. We've got to give. You see, the word's got to be complete. But I'll tell you what, it starts with the manger. I think as Christians, we ought to be proponents of the manger scene. We ought to be proponents of Jesus Christ, not just for a decoration, so that we can tell people about that baby that's lying there, that they can see, that all men may see. We need to share Jesus with people. Baby Jesus is their answer. You know, seeing Jesus Christ doesn't only help the world, though. As a side note, it helps us as well. It helps us as well. We need to see Christ so that we have the light shed in our hearts. And we need to share that to the rest of the world. Let's move on to the next thing. So it's in the Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger, is an indicator, as light is. Light is purpose so that men can see. And of course, Jesus Christ is. Number three, light is also purpose to give life. To give life. What's important for a small little seed to grow? They need light. For their life, they need that light. The absence of darkness is no life. There's not much life when there's darkness. You know, the plants, they need that light so that the process of photosynthesis and everything will come about. You know, even animals, they need light. You know, it's a dreary thing to live. And some of you have relatives and know people that live in places that don't get light. And I tell you what, it's a tough thing for life. Darkness. Not only our plants and our animals, but even humankind, human beings. It's tough to live in a place, and I believe that's why God gave us light. Why do we have light? Because it means life. Light gives life. We see in verse 4, John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was the life for them. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. There is only darkness. Couple other places in the book of John. Would you turn with me quickly? We're doing well for time. We're just about done. Look at chapter 8 and verse 12. See that the purpose of life, light, is to give life. We're talking about the baby Jesus in the manger. Why he's so important? Why is he so important? John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Notice the last several words here. But shall have the light of life. They needed Jesus Christ so that they could have life. There is no hope without Christ. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. What was Jesus' purpose? I am come that they might have life and that they might have life more abundantly. The light of the world came to give life to people. Without Jesus Christ, there would be no life. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know that we'll never have life without Christ. And you know, we look at the babe in the manger, and the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth was what? We sang that song. What was the third song that we sang? What was the title? Born to what? Born to die. And you know, we look at why is light important, you know, and the light comes so that there's life, and that life
then die so that there can be more life and be reproduced. His death, Jesus Christ's death on the cross, means what? My life. There can be no life without his death. And there could be no death without his life. He had to come to the earth and be born so that he could die so that I could live. What a tremendous thing. Jesus came so the wicked world would have life. You know, we need to tell that to the lost and dying world. Do you know that Jesus loves you so much? He came to this earth to be born. I want to tell you something. It used to be the thing that everybody knew the story of Christmas and the babe in the manger, but it is not true any longer. It is not true. You know, you go out and you look at the typical young person that's out there. They don't know the story of Jesus. They don't know the story of Christmas. I'll tell you what we can share. Say, hey, child, do you understand what the baby Jesus is? And most likely they won't have an idea who he is. But I want to tell you something, a tremendous, tremendous illustration and truth that you can look at the baby in the manger and say, you know what? This baby was born so that he could die, so that you could have life, eternal life. So important that we understand. Folks, as a Christian, we need to be thankful for that baby in the manger that we have. We'd be thankful for his life and thankful for his death that we have life. Something, in order to have life, there has to be death. Except for when Jesus Christ created the earth, created us. But since then, there's death that means life. And we praise the Lord for his death because that's the only way we could have life. The only way that any of us could have life is because Jesus died. And so there we have the babe in the manger. We're thankful for that. But I tell you what, the lost dying world in evangelism, we need to tell them that Jesus Christ is the only way of life. You take away the light and there's only darkness. And that brings us to the last and final point. Lastly, light is purpose to oppose darkness. Light is purpose to oppose darkness. Notice in verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, light overcomes darkness. Once light comes in, there is no more complete darkness. And we praise the Lord for that. The world is said to be lost in the darkness of sin and wickedness. But where Christ is, there's absolute victory. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. We already read this verse. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You see, light opposes darkness. I have a couple passages, lengthy passages of scripture. I want you to listen and see the importance of light overcoming the darkness. And you can follow along with me if you want to, but turn to John chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. Where there's light, the darkness cannot stay. Do you get that? Where there's light, oh, no, folks, this is good practical application for us. Where there's light, the darkness can't stay. And that's amazing. John chapter 3, verse 18. You know this passage. This passage, of course, you know John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world. In verse 18, he continues on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. And by the way, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Folks, we see that darkness and light are in direct opposition. And where there's darkness and men love their darkness, there's not any light. They don't want it. In fact, they reject that baby in the manger because they want to continue to do what they want to do. That's why that baby in the manger is wanting to be destroyed, because men want to live the way they want to. And that symbol there on that person's porch, that is a symbol that I can't bear. The world wants to get rid of it. The world wants to get rid of Christ because it opposes their sinful style, lifestyle. It opposes what they're doing at night. It opposes what they're doing at day. It opposes what they're watching on TV, and it opposes what they're spending all their hours of their day doing. It opposes everything in their lives, and they don't want it. I want to tell you something. We've got to take baby Jesus everywhere we go so that men will see the truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, another tremendous passage of scripture that teaches about light and opposition of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of his glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, where Christ goes, darkness cannot prevail. You know, I think of some of those, you know, bigger guys in school when I was in junior high and high school or even in grade school. There was the big guys. There were the strong guys. They were the guys that everybody was afraid of. And it was almost as if all the little puny weaklings in the school, you know, when they come, would bow down there and put their coats down, you know, so they could walk over. And here, let me give you my lunch. I still remember to this day, you know, kids, you know, these little kids opening up their lunchbox and giving the bigger. And it was like they wanted to do it. They didn't want to do that. You know, that kid was sitting there like, I'm hungry, but I want to be popular with them. I'm going to bow down to this big old guy that I think is the greatest thing. You know, he didn't think he was the greatest thing. He was just scared of him. But you know what? They cater. You know, the little guy caters to the big guy because just they want to be in with him. And by the way, it's just not kids in grade school and junior high and high school that do that. People do that as adults too. They're scared of certain people and they let them run all over them and influence them to do all kinds of things. You know what happens in the church as well? People get scared of other people and they feel like they got to bow down and they got to side with them and they got to do everything. Folks, it's time to be men of God and stand up for what's right. But you know what? That's what happens. Those people walk and everybody falls. Those people walk and everybody fears. Those people walk and everybody says, oh, there they are. I want to tell you something. Forget the tough guy in school. When Jesus walks, everybody fears. Now, they come back, but one day they will.
That's right.
One day everybody's going to bow down. One day everybody's going to say, dark world. We don't go with our good words and our neat little stories. We don't bring Jesus Christ there because where Jesus Christ is, it might not be realized then, but it's going to be realized eventually. It's going to be realized. If we have Jesus Christ, folks, we have what we need. I want to tell you something. Why are we scared to death to walk into the store and witness to that person? Why are we scared to hand out a tract? Why are we scared to give the gospel? Why are we scared to talk about baby Jesus? Folks, I want to tell you, you have what everybody else is going to bow down to. Jesus Christ is so important. He opposes darkness. And we've got the light. We've got the light. What was the world's response to this light? Well, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That Greek word is katalambano, means to make one's own. They would not make him his own. He is not one of us. He is separate. He is not one of us. In verses 10 and 11, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. That is almost the same word as the word comprehended. That word received is paralambano, to join oneself to. It's to not reject. And they didn't do that. They did reject him. You see, the world, when Jesus Christ was born in the manger, they said, we will not associate with him. We will reject him. He is not of us. We will be on our own. The world's response to the light? No. They chose not to make the light, Jesus, their own. His own? The Jews chose to reject the light, Jesus. Not only have the Jews rejected Jesus, but also the devil and his followers. They have chose to reject Jesus. They're called the world. The world has rejected Jesus Christ. My question to you as we close is, what is your response to the light? What is your response to the light? I want you to take note of verses 6 to 9. What is our response? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. This is why he came. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Why? Why? What does it say at the end of verse 7? that all men through him might believe. He wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That's Jesus, was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Notice, first of all, we're sent from God. We're commissioned by God to go out and share the light. What's our response to the light? We've got to give him out. We've got to be Christians. Christians are little Christ. We've got to shine the light to other people. We've got to give out Christ. The purpose is to bear witness of the light in verse 7. And the goal is that all men would believe. Folks, that all men would believe. What's the answer that our world needs? What's the answer of the world that's walking in their darkness? What's the answer? Who's the answer? I want to tell you that we've seen this morning that it's Jesus Christ. We've got to give Jesus Christ out. Jesus Christ is the answer. This past week, I was having my devotions, and I was reading through a passage, and I don't even remember what the passage was. Somewhere in the book of Psalm 119, me and my family were going through Psalm 119, and there was a verse that was talking about, and maybe it wasn't even that, maybe it was my prayer. I was brought to the fact that God is forever. And I was thanking God that he was forever. That he was forever and ever and ever. He was an eternal God. And I was thinking about that, and then I was starting to think about eternal life. And I started thinking about eternal life. I thought, that is amazing. And that was a good thought for me. And after a while, I got a little bit bothered. And I was thinking about forever. Have you ever done that? I was like, forever? And there's almost like, after I go to water, that's true. There's also, we can't comprehend forever. But I was still excited. You know, I'm going to have bliss ever. You know, I'm just going to have the best blessings I could ever want. Forever. And I was kind of happy in that until I thought about eternity, and I thought, you know what, that's forever as well. And then I started thinking about, boy, that sounds kind of, it's my human body can imagine eternity in heaven forever. And I started thinking about hell forever. And I started thinking, boy, that sounds so horrible. That sounds horrible because I can't imagine 10 minutes in hell. I can't imagine what it would be like to continue to burn. I can't imagine what it would be like to not be consumed and to be weeping and gnashing my teeth. I can't imagine what it's going to be like, and it never, ever ends. I can't imagine. You know, when your thoughts go, how could a good God do that? But then I think, wait a second, it's not about a good God that did it. It's about a bad man that decided he didn't want Jesus Christ. Folks, the world absolutely needs Jesus Christ, because if they say no to Christ, they will. Your neighbors, your relatives, your friends that you walk with or do whatever, those friends, they're not going to be drinking and partying like they think they're going to do for the rest of their life. They're going to be burning forever and ever. And I want to tell you something. It ought to propel us to go out and to give the gospel to the world. The baby Jesus is their answer. They need Christ, and you need to introduce them to it so that they don't have to burn in hell forever. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Tonight we have an opportunity to invite somebody to this. The Lord has placed somebody on my heart that I need to ask to come tonight. Would you make the decision to do it? You see, the purpose of this whole message is, yes, that we see the goodness of God, but I want to tell you something. The goodness of God needs to go out into outreach. If you're truly thankful for what God has done for you, then my friends, then we ought to be able to share it with somebody else so that his goodness can be reached out to them as well. Do you care about the world? Do you care about the lost? They need to hear the story of Jesus. They need to be won to him. They need to join themselves up. You see, the world comprehended him not. They rejected. And they need to be won to him. They have heard the truth. God's always wanting his truth to be put into action. My question to you, as you're sitting here in the quiet of this hour, heads bowed and eyes closed, what will you do with Jesus? Oh, there's a lot of things individually we need to do. And there was some application about how we need to be here. We need to study who Jesus is. But the major application this morning is this. What are you going to do with the baby in the manger? Are you going to give him out, or are you going to keep him to yourself?
The world needs to hear him. They need to see him. I want to encourage you that you turned the word of God this morning into a challenge and a commitment to you of saying, today I'm going to, and you fill in the blank. Maybe it's to pray for souls to come tonight. We need it. Maybe it's to call somebody up and say, hey, this afternoon. But you know, if we don't do anything with it, then we're deceiving our own selves. It's just like waking up in the morning, seeing our face in the mirror and doing absolutely nothing about it and just pretending, forgetting what we look like. I want to encourage you this morning to make a decision. Okay, I've heard this. Now I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to act on it today. Today I will. Let me give you just a moment of time to get alone with the Lord right now. We're not going to have any music for just a moment right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And as you're there contemplating with the Lord, would you ask the Lord, okay, God has spoken to me now. What am I going to do with it? And I'm going to ask you to make a decision this morning about what you ought to do with what you've heard. And make that commitment. Say, okay, God, I'm going to do that. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many of you would be able to just simply slip up your hand and say, you know, Pastor, this morning God spoke to my heart and I know that there's something I need to do with that. Not again. I don't know if it's prayer. I don't know if it's getting out. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something completely different that the Lord spoke to your heart about. But you say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning in a definite way. And I know that I need to do something about it. God's spoken and I have committed that to the Lord. You'd simply raise your hand and say, you know what? God spoke to me and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that today. Praise the Lord. Many of you, hands lifted, you can put your hands down. Anybody else, you didn't raise your hand, there's another one. Anybody else, you say, you know what, God did speak to my heart, and I know he's knocking at my door that I need to do something, and that's going to be me. Anybody else, raise your hand, say, you know what, that's me as well. Amen. God, thank you so much how you have worked in people's hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful at giving Jesus out. Lord, help us to give Jesus out this Christmas, Lord, that people would see the truth. See the truth. God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.